beautiful blue skies, 31 degrees throughout the mid-Michigan area. Thanks so much for tuning into the program. 393-3700 is the McLaren Health Plan phone line, 393-3700. The McLaren Greater Lansing email inbox is morningshow@1320wils.com. Stephen Vladek is on the other end of our line. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Tony. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Appreciate having you on the program. Stephen, I want to talk a little bit about the Supreme Court cases that have been before the Supreme Court. We've talked earlier, and we're talking with Stephen Vladek, as I just mentioned, who's the professor of law and associate dean for scholarship at the American University Washington College of Law. He follows this not only with great interest, but with great passion. Big cases that the Supreme Court has dived into, and we've got another one when talking about Arizona immigration law.
Yeah, so this is actually the court's last scheduled oral argument for this year. It was took place this Wednesday. And the question is whether Arizona can have a series of state laws that are designed basically to deal with the problem of undocumented immigrants. Arizona has, among other things, made it a crime to be out of status in the state of Arizona. Arizona has required all government officers to check the immigration status of any individual who's arrested or who's even pulled over by the police for, speeding, for running a stop sign, things like that. Arizona has required, for example, that employers run the immigration status of all of their employees, no matter what. And so I think the question the court was asked to decide on Wednesday is, to what extent do any or all of these requirements interfere with federal law and might therefore be preempted? Because, Tony, as you know, anytime there's a conflict between state and federal law is supposed to win. So that's what the court was grappling with on Wednesday.
It seems like the major issue is if racial profiling will be the result of this law.
Well, so I think there are two central problems with the Arizona law. One, as you mentioned, Tony, is racial profiling. And just to put a little bit of meat onto that, I mean, the question is, if you're a law enforcement officer in Arizona, what exactly is going to give you reasonable suspicion that an individual you see on the street is out of status, right? How is it that we act in a manner to show that we might not have proper immigration status? The concern is that this will lead Arizona law enforcement officers to stop predominantly those who are of Mexican or Hispanic descent, not because they actually have reason to believe they're out of status, but because of their skin color. And that's the racial profiling concern. But the actual issue the Supreme Court was hearing on Wednesday was not the profiling piece of this. Wednesday's argument was about whether Arizona as a state can basically decide to have an immigration policy all its own, or whether that conflicts with the federal government's national uniform policy, which, among other things, has specifically chosen not to make it a crime to be out of status. So does Arizona have, as a state, have a right to disagree with that policy choice by the federal government and to go off on their own?
From your perspective, Stephen, what does the law say about the state's right to govern and decide their own rules and regulations, especially within regards of if they supersede or add to current federal law?
Well, Tony, I think that the difference between superseding and adding is actually the whole ballgame. You know, I think from the Supreme Court's perspective, the difference between state laws that supplement federal authority and state laws that supplant federal authority is actually dispositive, right? That the states have all the power in the world to help the federal government enforce their laws. The states have all the power in the world to, you know, enact their own laws that are not inconsistent with federal laws. What states cannot do is contradict or otherwise countervene policy choices the federal government has made. And so I think one of the hard questions for the justices is, if the federal government has made it a policy choice to under-enforce their immigration laws, to not necessarily deport every individual who's out of status, to not necessarily aggressively go after individuals in our communities who might be out of status but who are otherwise not up to any mischief, can states decide that they disagree? Can states decide that they want to prioritize that kind of enforcement? And I think the whole crux of the dispute, Tony, is whether that is in fact supplementing federal authority or supplanting it.
Stephen, when will they have a decision for this case?
Well, I think, you know, the Arizona immigration case, as I said, it was the last argument the court heard this term. You know, Tony, I suspect we'll get a decision right at the end of the term, which is right at the end of June. So right about the same time that we're hearing from the court on the constitutionality of health care, on a number of high-profile other questions like juvenile life without parole, I think that's when we'll hear about the Arizona immigration law. One other thing to note, Justice Kagan, who actually participated in this case when she was the Solicitor General, is recused. So it's actually a distinct possibility that the court might split 4-4 on at least some of the questions in the Arizona case, which would leave the Ninth Circuit decision, which basically struck down the major parts of the Arizona law, intact. We'll know in June.
How much of the arguments will influence the justices on how they rule? Will they pretty much know at the end of those arguments, or do they need time to look through the law and think about the issues?
You know, Tony, it really depends. I mean, there's a relatively well-known saying among Supreme Court lawyers that you can't win a case in oral argument, but you can lose it. You know, I think for the most part, in a case like this, the justices largely have their minds made up when they go into argument. I think what argument really does is it helps to shape the opinions that will inevitably emerge. It helps the justices decide, you know, how they want to frame their decisions and what they want to say either in favor of or against the law. I think it's actually the relatively rare high-profile case where a justice really has their mind changed in oral argument. I think it's more the more mundane cases where that's more likely to happen.
Stephen, you've had some time to reflect on the oral arguments against the health care law. What do you think?
You know, I continue to think what I said when we talked last, Tony, which is that I think, you know, we can't really be that confident about how the court's going to rule, partly because I think the court may not know for itself. I think it's going to be close. I think it'll probably be either 6-3 to uphold it or 5-4 to strike it down, but as between those two outcomes, you know, this is why I'm a law professor, not a gambling man.
All right, so we've got the health care law, we've got Arizona immigration. What else will be decided upon by the end of this term?
So there are some other big cases about the constitutionality of juvenile life without parole. There are some fairly big Fourth Amendment cases. You know, we're going to hear a couple of big First Amendment cases about the FCC's policy of banning fleeting expletives from network television. We're going to hear about the First Amendment in the Stolen Valor Act case and whether Congress can prohibit purely false statements that don't actually harm anybody. So it's going to be a pretty big term. You know, I think it's going to keep going into the fall. We've already got a couple of high-profile cases coming at us next year. The University of Texas's race-based affirmative action program is already on the court's docket. I think we're going to see a sequel to the Citizens United case about the campaign limits and whether they, or campaign finance limits, whether they violate the First Amendment. So, you know, I think it's going to be a busy year for the Supreme Court watchers among us.
Can't wait to hear those decisions. Stephen Vladek is a professor of law, associate dean for scholarship at American University's Washington College of Law. Stephen, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, Tony.